Hello and welcome to the Fit for Privacy podcast, the podcast for those who care about privacy. I'm your host Puneet Bhatia, and here we have conversations with industry leaders about their perspectives, ideas and opinions relating to privacy and data protection matters. Before we start, a quick disclaimer that the views and opinions expressed are not legal advice. So let's get started. So what would you tell a person who says that their mission is to protect people's worldwide right to privacy? Well, I would go and talk to their marketing person or brand person, and I would ask them, what is their philosophy? How do they do it? And what do they mean by protecting people's worldwide right to privacy? So we are talking about a company called Startpage, and I have the pleasure of having Kelly Finnerty, who's the director of brand and content, to ask these questions, because she has the passion of helping businesses grow and find their audiences. And she's worked in 4 different countries, and she has also been an active outdoor person and a beach person, of course, when she's not working. And she is Kelly Finnerty, as I said. Kelly, welcome to the show.
Hi, Puneet. Thanks for having me.
So tell me, how did you get into this privacy company or into the field of privacy? Because it's unusual for people to say we have a perspective and be in a field of content and brand, if I may say like that.
Definitely. So I've been with Startpage for 2 years now. And I previously was working in marketing for major international brands. And I did come to a pivot time in my career where I was thinking about what I wanted to do next. And I did want to, you know, at the end of the day, when you're working in marketing, you're selling products and you're influencing people and you're raising messages and, you know, raising conversations. And I'd love to, I said to myself, I wanted to do that about an issue that could really help people. And so when looking for my next step, I came across Startpage, and not only was it a really topical product, right? So privacy is in headlines of major newspapers every day. So not only is it something that people are talking about, but it's also something that could really help people. So I said, you know, if you're putting all those hours into a job, why not put it into a job that can impact and improve people's lives? So I made the switch to Startpage, and I became their director of brand and content in 2019. And from there have helped grow out a global team, both in the US and Germany, to start raising awareness around privacy.
Wonderful, wonderful. And what is this concept of when you say private search? Because we are used to a search world wherein we say you search and your profile is made. So what is this private search concept, if you can elaborate? I know you're from brand and marketing, but still you would understand what you're promoting. So if you can explain from a layman's perspective, because I know we don't want to confuse people with all the technical details.
Absolutely. So Startpage was actually the first ever private search engine. It was founded in 2006, really from our founder had another search engine, right? And that wasn't private. And him and the data and engineers teams were going through the data that they were collecting on people. And when you think about the searches that you make every day, you know, health issues, family issues, personal interests, to just weather and news also, but it really does become a strong collection of who you are as a person and what's going on in your life in that moment. And that amount of personal data being collected to a single IP address or to a single user ID can become quite dangerous. Whether, you know, your search history is being used in a civil or criminal law case to talk about, you know, who you are as a person, or, you know, to have manipulative content sent to you, kind of knowing where your mind state is at. And our founder, Robert E.G. Beans, so at that time said, I don't want to legally collect that information on someone and also ethically collect that information on someone. So he created Startpage, and we have a very unique with relationship with Google. So we pay Google to use their search index. And the way that we make search private and the way that we do that in a very secure way for our global users is that per search, we remove all personal data. So your IP address, any prior browsing history, we remove anything that says anything about the individual user. We then process their search through on-premise secured servers. So these are servers that are based in Europe. They're locked in our owned and operated cabinets. From there, we pass the search term only to the Google search index as start page. So only Google sees that start page is searching for that particular term. We pass those unprofiled search results back through the secure on-premise servers to the user. So the user never has any type of direct contact with that search index or search provider. Only start page does, and then through the secure server. You, the user, then gets back unprofiled, unpersonalized search results, top search results for that search term. And what you get as a user are less ads that follow you around, right? So there's not this digital profile that can start, you search for hotels once and now you're getting flights and, you know, Hawaiian shirt deals. It ensures that, you know, you're not being targeted with manipulative content. Your data is not being sold to data harvesters. Sometimes insurance companies buy this search data. And it also,
sorry, I couldn't hear.
Sorry. And
that's privacy invasion.
So I do want to talk to you about this too, right? Because there's different levels of how to, you know, to control your own privacy. Mm-hmm. So with StartPage, we feel that we can give you the control of making sure that the information you're looking for, the problems you're having, that you're going to your search engine to understand, that those remain private.
That's interesting. And you've given me far more elaborate answer than what I expected, and quite technical as well. So essentially what you do is somebody goes to search start page. They put in their search term, like let's say I want to search myself for my podcast. And then you go to Google just saying somebody searching for these terms, say my name, first name and last name. And then Google doesn't know anything, which they typically would know, who is it, what's their IP and all those things. And then they give you the results and you show them without any traceability, without any track of who the person is. It's basically an anonymous search or a private search.
Exactly. And there's never any search history or tracing from that one search.
You know what? Some people would say it's not possible, but I trust you. So what does privacy mean for you as a person? Because when you are working for such a noble cause, which is very relevant, and we all want to protect our privacy. So what does privacy mean for you as a person?
Definitely. Well, just so you know, you don't just have to trust my words on that. You can use different like Chrome dev tools to search on StartPage and you can see what data of yours is being passed and you see that nothing is being passed. So there are also ways to technically double check to make sure that what I'm saying is true. So don't just take my word for it.
So you're open to scrutiny. That's what you're saying.
I mean, honestly, we invite it. Right? We want people to be asking questions about what's happening with their data. We want people to have, because if someone's willing to challenge that, that means that they care about their privacy and they're also willing to take action, which are two steps that I think make the difference between someone who's using Google and someone who's using StartPage. Now, you asked Punit what my take on privacy is. Everybody wants privacy.
Sure? Right.
I think if you ask somebody, hey, do you want your search history saved and sold and auctioned off to people potentially used to, you know, describe your character? I'm pretty sure the majority would say, no, I don't want that. But then where the number gets smaller is, well, are you willing to switch from Google or Bing or what other search engine a person is using to StartPage? And because searches are such a daily action, that's a big switch.
Right.
So to me, privacy is wanting it and doing something about it.
Wonderful. Wanting it and doing something about it. And then in that case, you would know GDPR. And when you think about GDPR, what one word comes to your mind?
Accountability.
Wow, accountability. And accountability means for you?
I think it goes on three ways, right? There's accountability for the business to be detailed about what data they're collecting and how they're using it. And that there will be, you know, if they are found to be doing something out of line of GDPR, that they will be made accountable with fines. I think there's accountability for the individual user. While I do think that people just hit yes, 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 at least they are doing that physical action and that is making them then accountable for what they are accepting and inviting into their life. And then thirdly, it does make the government accountable to protect individual citizens, which is their job. So that's how I'm thinking of accountability.
That's very interesting. Normally people look at accountability in dimension one, that's for the organizations or those collecting data, but it's a broad and a more complete definition that the one who collects, the one who gives, and the one who's there to monitor it or help them protect it.
At the end of the day, we cannot wait for the government to figure out the most perfect legislation because technology works too fast for government. So really a lot of it is on the hands of the individual, which is why a tool like Startpage, why there are lots of other individual privacy tools out there that people need to switch to, because that empowers them. And then they're not waiting on the government to create a law, pass a law, enforce a law. That takes a long time.
Indeed. And you mentioned a very important point. The technology moves faster than laws. And then some people say, and I know that's a perspective, that the big tech is already profiting from our personal data collection because they have made our profiles. They know who we are and they know much better than we ourselves know about us. Or maybe our spouse or partner knows about us. So in that world, how do we protect personal data? Because isn't it too late?
You know, I do hear that. And, you know, my watch was just listening to me a moment ago. So there's elements where you could say that. But I would ask you to, you know, rethink any conversation around recycling, right? Could you say that, you know, there's no point to recycle or reduce your carbon footprint or to reduce the amount of trash that you're creating and just say, I totally give up? Or are you going to take the approach that, hey, I have an individual responsibility. I have individual control. I'm going to take these steps forward. While I cannot control everything that happens in the world, I can take individual responsibility for my part in this. And for that reason, when there are choices, when there are alternatives that protect my privacy, I will stand up and I will make those choices versus just giving up and succumbing to it all.
I would fully agree with you. I think that's the same situation we have in terms of environment or sustainability, because we don't say it's too far, let's leave it, whatever will happen, we will see. We're still doing our best to protect ourselves and our future generation. And it's the same thing we did in 1950s and 60s in terms of the equation of different genders or different races or different colors. We didn't say now it's too far, the world has changed, it's too late because it started in 1600s and 1700s and it's 200 years. We still did revolts, we did have the movements, and then people did have equality. Okay, there are still some challenges, but people did go for it. And it's the same thing with privacy now. We are a bit late into the journey because this journey started in 80s and then 90s and 2000s, it picked up a lot of pace. But with the laws like GDPR and other things, it's still time to control, because we cannot say it's done, because there's still some things we want to protect. And also we want to have that right to privacy.
Yep. And that's a really good example. Yeah, that's a very well said.
So when we say that people should take control of their privacy, How do you see, or what can users do to take control of their privacy? If it's not too late, then there must be ways. And in your view, what are those ways? Of course, using StartPage would be one, but what can you recommend?
Absolutely. I mean, there's so many different levels also of like a person's threat level, as well as just amount of time they're willing to spend on this. So I'll talk from the most basic levels. A private email service is a great way to go. I don't think people are as aware of how unprivate their email is. You know, previously there was like atrocious privacy invasions with, you know, images being seen by employees and then also like taken out of people's private accounts. A lot of that has been remedied. You still get ads based on, you know, terms and messages like in your email. So there is at a high level still scanning your messages. So the number one thing I would say is really protecting your communications. So email is great for that. Also private messenger. I know all the news around WhatsApp brought a lot of people's attention to that. Switching to something like Signal is a really simple step forward that you can do to message family, friends, colleagues privately and know that there is an end-to-end encryption there. You know, using different payment methods that are more private. One really simple solution that people can use to protect online payments is to, if you're using a credit card online, use a prepaid Visa credit card. One, it might control your spending, right? Because you have to put the funds in there. But also making sure that that prepaid card is the number that you're passing online versus your own personal credit card, or even worse, your own debit card. Those are some really simple ways that can make some big changes for the amount of data, personal data that a person is sharing online.
You sound like a privacy guru. So since you sound like that, I would ask you, when you say these behaviors or these perspectives that people have or the needs people have in context of privacy, are these region-centric or these concerns are across the board? Because you may also have some data because you, based on the search uptake you have or something, how is it in terms of the data and how is it in terms of those regions?
Do you mean like different threats in different regions or different interests or understandings of privacy? What do you mean by that?
I mean, two things. One is the perspective on privacy, but we can't judge that without any study. But you would have some trends saying StartPage is being used more in this region and that region. And that allows us to infer and make a judgment saying if people, I'm just quoting, and correct me if I'm wrong, if people in Europe are using your private search more in correlation to US and then in correlation to Asia, that means people in Europe are more privacy conscious. And then we can say, yes, these demands or behaviors are, because we can always say Europe is ahead and everything, and it sounds good. GDPR is the gold standard. Yes, it sounds all that good, but is it backed by evidence? And since you provide that service called Start Page or private search for simplicity, is there any evidence you have, any correlation you've seen?
Yes, and I'm glad you brought that up. It's interesting, right? I'm an American. More than half of Start Page searches come from Europe, and primarily in Germany. Wow. And yeah, and so that goes back to, right, caring about privacy and doing something about it. Germans. And so just so you know, the way that we know that is we don't know individual users. We don't have any history of searches, but we do know search query volume. And that helps us as a business know to if we're growing, if what we're doing is making an impact, but never to know who these people are or what they're searching about. That said, Germany is the number one country where we receive our most searches from. And just this year, we, you know, we started a team on the ground in Berlin to really listen to, you know, why Germans are more inclined to search in private and to have conversations with NGOs and activists that are making a really big difference in Germany. And so it really comes down to a few things. One is the historical background of Germany, right? So they have seen, from a political perspective, the hugest injustice of a government using its citizens' personal data to prosecute people. So that being the Holocaust. So them and you know, the secret police. So them understanding that, hey, if a government party, if a organization has this amount of personal data on people, they can use this in really atrocious ways. So that's one of like the historical background of it. The other part is that big tech hasn't necessarily sunk its teeth in as deep into Germany or Europe as it has in the US. The US is the birthplace of big tech. So they have a lot of money, a lot of time, a lot of people with like built into lobby with the US government to make sure that legislation is favorable for their business practices. Whereas in Europe with GDPR, less is the case. Still plenty, but not as much as the US. And then there is just like also a adoption rate that occurred with technology in the US that I can't fully understand, but you know, I think in the US, whenever we get a new piece of technology, we're so excited to participate in it and so excited to try it without kind of having that first question of where is this information going? Who created this product? You know, how is this going to be used outside of this one interaction? Where there is in Europe, there tends to be just kind of that, you know, extra question, that extra kind of peek behind the curtain or investigation that mm-hmm. Europeans are more inclined to do, which again is the guessing part. But we can see that more than half of our searches come from Europe, mainly in Germany.
Very interesting. I expected that even without knowing those stats, but it's good to have that validation with facts, because there's a perception or there's a feeling you have, and then the facts, and facts are the ones which validate our feelings. So if I may ask you some quick questions, some of them are obvious. Do you use other search engines?
I do. And mainly it's for research. If I ever am writing or researching something personal, I'm always using Startpage, and I do have the Startpage's extension installed, so that I can search straight from the URL bar or from their homepage. So I am always on searching. I do search on other search engines just to make sure that our services, our tools, our features are up to par with what other people who are on non-traditional search engines are using. So we just added a translate feature to Startpage. We didn't have that before, but you know, working on an international team, passing copy between the US and Germany, we're constantly having to translate. So I'd have to use other search engines to do that. So it's a really good way for me to, and the team to say, you know, what are we not providing our users that we need to?
Makes sense. So if you had a choice between a free email and then a private free email that collects data vis-a-vis a private email, but that's paid, which one would you choose as a person?
Lucky for me, I get a free account with Startmail, which is a top private email provider. So I don't have to make that choice, but I would definitely pay. Now that I know the level of tracking that goes within email, I would definitely be happy to pay. It's around $60 for the year. Mm-hmm. And it's well worth it. It also gives you alias emails. So if you have to put an email in to pass through like a news site to read an article, it can just like pre-populate these alias emails for you that are like kind of like toss away ones, so you don't get mm-hmm. added to every newsletter out there. I have learned there is a lot of value in that. So I would definitely pay for Start Meal.
And then if I put in front a teenager or somebody hard believer saying, I don't need privacy, what one example would you give them to convince about privacy or need for privacy?
It's interesting. Detached from like the teenage world, I do feel like as a teenager, you don't want people telling you what to do.
Exactly.
And so if you're using a traditional search engine, you are opening yourself up to so much manipulation. And so I'd say, like, if the less big tech knows about you, the less they can manipulate you. Yeah. So don't be a sucker, right? Don't, because if you're like, and now I'm trying to be like a teenager, but like, but you know what I'm saying? Because it's like, basically you are a sucker to big tech. If you're just feeding their algorithms, they're making so much money off of all of your personal data that then they're selling to then manipulate you. So like, take back your control. Don't have big tech kind of shaping and guiding your life. You know, be the guide of your own life.
That's a good one.
You have to let me know if it works with your son.
Yeah, I would. Because normally I use the other one. I will say, hey, give me your, because I, when I speak at events, a lot of people have asked me saying, it's too late and we don't need privacy. So I say, okay, no problem. This is my email. You send me your bank account number and the password and the bank you bank with. So all the details that I need. No, but that's private. That's exactly. That's what I mean. Every one of us has a different threshold or when we need privacy. It may be different based on the region, based on the age, and based on the person, but everyone needs it. And the other one I generally use is I ask them questions. So what's your name? Okay. What's your girlfriend's name? And what's your bank's name? And then at a certain point, everybody would stop on what is the question. And then I say, that's exactly. So every one of us stops at different questions. So you need privacy and you have a different threshold.
I like that. Yeah, it you're right though. Like I do feel in most of my conversations with people, I'm having to convince them that protecting their privacy or their online data is important. So we're still farther away from it to be a mass product, but if we can really just get those people who do care to know that there's an alternative, like a simple alternative. And it's not even that you have to sacrifice the quality of information you get. You're literally getting Google search results, right?
Yeah, that part I didn't know. And that's news for me because when I was doing the research, I didn't get that far. That how does it work? Because I knew I'll have the pleasure of conversing with you and finding that out, but I didn't expect that one. So it feels like we just started, but when I look at the clock, time has passed. So what would be your one final message for people?
You have a choice when it comes to passing your personal data when you search. You can either choose to give it all away, to have your searches recorded or not. The or not would be searching with Start Page. And I'd love to hear from any of your users who have tried it to let me know what they think.
Absolutely. So if somebody wants to contact you, Kelly, or somebody wants to find you, what's the best possible way to contact you?
So our Twitter handle is @StartPage. And then I'm Kelly_StartPage. So that's probably like, I'm on there all the time. I'd love to hear from anyone. And that's a really great first step to talk.
So thank you so much, Kelly. It didn't feel like we were having a conversation and it feels like we've just started. And I don't know if I asked the questions that I wanted to ask, but that's how it should be. So thank you so much for being here.
No, I enjoyed our conversation too, Puneet. Thank you.
Thanks for listening. And now we ask you for some help. Take a moment to subscribe and review this podcast. Your support matters.
And if you have done it already, thank you so much. Now, if you have questions or suggestions, drop an email at hello@fitforprivacy.com. And finally, if you know someone who will benefit from this, share this podcast with them and help us grow. Thank you so much. Stay safe and see you next time.